We've got 9,000 members working throughout Ireland, the 32 counties of Ireland. And every week they will be encountering families and individuals who are experiencing poverty on a daily basis. And the signs of poverty that we see, it wouldn't be unusual to go into a home and find that there's little or no food in the place, especially if they're on social welfare and the social welfare payment is due the next day. So they'll have spent all their money. So it's not unusual to come across a situation where there wouldn't be large amounts of food in the house, or indeed coming across situations where you'd have empty fridges and things like that. We'd also find that increasingly people are having difficulty paying for some other basic necessities in life, like ESB and gas. So the rapid increase that we've seen over the last 2 years in utility bills has had a direct impact. So there's absolutely no doubt in our mind that there are significant numbers of people living in Ireland today who are living on a very low income and living in poverty.
People would argue, though, that there's an awful lot of opportunity out there at the moment, so that there's no particular reason for somebody to be on social welfare, or that there is work out there, there are jobs out there, and that if somebody is facing poverty, that there is something that they could do about it.
Yeah, there are huge opportunities in Ireland and have been for the last number of years. But to avail of those opportunities, then you need to have resources. So if you're an older person who's retired, there may not be job opportunities for you. You may not want to go back into the workforce. You've spent maybe 40 or 50 years of your life and you're entitled to your retirement. So we find that older people are particularly vulnerable. Lone parents who don't, again, have the opportunity because of the lack of affordable childcare to get back into the employment market. People with disabilities have a number of obstacles to try and overcome to get back into the labour market. So they're just three groups who are particularly vulnerable, who aren't in a position to avail of the opportunities. I think one of the other things that's worth noting as well is that in the last 5 or 8 years, we've come across increasing numbers of people who are working but who are poor. And that's a development in the last few years. There are significant numbers of people who are required to work in low-wage employment in Ireland in order to sustain this economic so-called miracle that we have.
What about in the new year after Christmas? I mean, Christmas is obviously one of those situations which would be a challenge to people. How do people face into the new year, or do you get a lot of people coming to you after Christmas looking for help?
Yeah, we'll expect a large volume of calls in the month of January. In the run-up to Christmas, the 6 weeks in the run-up to Christmas is our busiest time of the year, because Christmas is perhaps the most difficult time for people in low income. So in the run-up to Christmas, lots of our volunteers will be delivering food hampers to homes. They'll also be bringing toys to homes. So some very basic essential things. But even with our help, people will often find that they've gone into some kind of debt in the run-up to Christmas. And that might be that they owe money to catalogue companies for stuff that they've bought in hire purchase. It might be that they've postponed paying essential bills like utility bills, so they've postponed those. So when January comes, the buzz of Christmas is over, and then they're faced with the stark reality of having a telephone bill or a gas bill or an electricity bill, and that's off. So we'll get lots of calls in January from households who are finding that they just can't make ends meet.
So then going forward into the new year, I mean, what would be the best thing that you would advise for people to help them sustain their living standard?
Like, I think that's an interesting and obvious question, but I think it's a really, really difficult one. If the challenge of trying to survive on a low income is immense, and lots of people are very, very good at it and have to and make extraordinary efforts. I remember talking to one woman once, and she said that every week when she got a social welfare payment, she went to do her shopping in a local supermarket. And the way in which she went around the supermarket was determined in the order of priority, because if she knew she came across one or two luxury goods earlier on in the shop, that she might be tempted to buy it and she wouldn't have stuff for the essentials. So the very basic things like bread, milk, meat, vegetables were the first things she put in her basket. And then if there was stuff left, then she would try to, you know, the small luxuries in life like biscuits. So I think it's extraordinarily difficult to survive on a low income. Families who contact us who are in debt, we're able to work with them over time, along with other agencies like the Money Advice and Budgeting Service, to help them get their debt under control. But also, we're keen as well to see what hopes and aspirations people have for themselves and for their children. And we're able to help with that. We're particularly keen to try and promote education, because we see education as a route out of poverty.
But facing into the new year, there are an awful lot of costs that present themselves. You know, I'm thinking particularly in schools where there may be extracurricular activities, or there may be school tours or events or outings like that. I mean, how can parents cope with that, or how can education authorities and teachers be more sensitive towards people who mightn't be able to afford these things?
We find that a lot of families are approaching us for help with the cost of education. There's no such thing as free education, and there are significant additional costs, which if you've got more than one child, then those costs mount up. So things like extracurricular activities like swimming or maybe some kind of art class or something like that, which lots of the kids are participating in, then there's considerable pressure on the parents to allow their kids to do it. But if you've got one or more kids, then those costs can mount up. So we'd find that if we're working with a family over time, we're particularly keen to try and promote access to education. So we will help fund some of those activities. I think by and large, teachers tend to be quite sensitive about the fact that if there's some kind of cost associated with extra activity, that there are some kids that aren't able to afford it. And we would work quite closely with schools. So we'd know the principals and the teachers in lots of the schools. And they know that if they identify a family that has particular needs and come to us, that we may be able to help out.